This is the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, the congressional investigation into former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's emails just got a reboot, as information found on her private server could lead to criminal charges. Also, still pending before the Congress when they return is the president's deal with Iran over the future of their nuclear program. What does this pose in terms of Israel and their security? And what does it pose to our own security? General Jerry Boykin is here for that discussion. Let me encourage you to check out our website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's guests and the topics we're covering. You can also find out information about the upcoming Values Voter Summit here in Washington, D.C., September the 25th through the 27th. We'll have most, if not all, the presidential candidates here for that, and I hope you will be here as well. Again, that information found at TonyPerkins.com. By the way, if you're on Twitter, you can follow me on a day-to-day basis of what's happening here in Washington, D.C., at T. Perkins. Love to keep you informed on what's happening and have that conversation with you about faith, family, and freedom. Well, things just got a lot more interesting surrounding Hillary Clinton's use of her private server regarding her work while with the State Department. After a long delay this past Tuesday, the former Secretary of State decided to turn over her private server to the Justice Department. That same day, the group looking into her server found two emails that were classified as top secret, which means she could be in for a major legal battle. Now, this is a major issue in light of the fact that this information could have easily been stolen or shared and may have been. We really don't know. But the question is, what does this mean for the congressional investigation surrounding this issue of Hillary Clinton and her emails? Joining me now with the latest on this is a member of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, who I'm sure will be a part of looking into this as this new revelation has come forward. Congressman Tim Walberg of the 7th Congressional District of Michigan. Congressman, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's good to be with you. Appreciate the opportunity to talk anytime you're on the air.
Congressman, obviously this is one of those things that's been frustrating as I've spoken to you and many of your colleagues. Seems to be that Hillary Clinton, the State Department, dragging their feet. Now that this information is out, what does this do for your investigation into any possible criminal or wrongdoing on behalf of the former secretary?
Well, Tony, before anything else, it at least gives some credibility to the fact that we were right in continuing looking at things like Benghazi and now the email issue that's come from it. Sadly, Tony, I think you and your listeners understand that our country, its leadership, its government, its bureaucracy is not trusted by the people. We always ought to trust but verify, as another great president said, but there ought to be an ability that we can generally trust our government to be doing things in the best interest of us. Sadly, that's not the case, and I think you see in the presidential races going on now on both sides of the ledger. The American public are being drawn toward people who will push back against a government that has grown increasingly untrustworthy in their minds or in reality. And so when you have a powerful woman, the Secretary of State, a First Lady for 8 years, one who was a U.S. Senator and who had the same classified briefings that I have now, and the training that we all must take, understand what are our rights and privileges as members of Congress or government officials, but also our responsibilities to live by the law in protecting classified information and making sure that it's cared for appropriately and it is not abused. To have these revelations come out, go against trustworthiness, as well as, when you get right down to it, the general security of our country. And so that's why it's important that we come to a final understanding with the Secretary of State, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, her emails. But if it goes any further, in through bureaucracy and other officials, but we find that out as well, and we remedy it for the future.
Congressman Wahlberg, I want to go back to something you said at the very beginning, and that is this really provides the justification for Congress not giving up on these investigations into this, whether this or Benghazi. And I want to ask you that question. Is it your sense that that has been a part of the strategy to drag these things out, thinking that members of Congress would lose interest or the public would move on to something else and these things would fall by the wayside?
Sadly, I think that is the case. You know, I've been on Oversight and Government Reform Committee now into my third term on that committee. And we've had Fast and Furious. We've had the illegal gun running that ended up killing a Michiganian right here from the state of Michigan at one of our Customs and Border Patrol. And that was prevaricated upon, held back, delayed to the point that we held Attorney General Eric Holder, past Attorney General, in contempt of Congress, the first time that has ever been done in history. And I'm sure a lot of people thought that that was political. But it wasn't. The Oversight and Government Reform Committee is doing finally what we should have been doing for many, many years now. And the more things that we bring out, and that's our responsibility, not to hold them back or hide them, but as we uncover them, to then deliberate upon them and do the necessary research into it to come to a satisfactory conclusion of what's right, what's wrong, and how we deal with it, it is going to look ugly. And so the American people have had front feet view of things like Fast and Furious, Benghazi, the IRS scandal with Lois Lerner, and the pushback on conservative organizations, and we've had the conference gates and the like, and so people look at that and say, my gracious, that is ugly, that's wrong, and government is bad, but the only reason they're seeing it is because we are finally doing what we're supposed to do, and then if we don't follow it out to the end and find the conclusion either by exonerating an individual or an agency, or on the other side, bringing them to the full extent of what the law requires, I think we've not done our service. So right now, I can say at the very least that looking into Benghazi brought out problems and will continue to, but one of those was the Secretary of State's keeping of her records and specifically emails and communications on a server that wasn't, according to, as we're finding out, the Government Records Act, and keeping classified information that now we're finding out, yes, there were classified emails that she said there that weren't there. Now we found out they are. No matter how many there are, the law still applies, and we saw with General Petraeus, that's what ultimately brought him down and convicted him of wrongdoing in allowing classified information to come across the eyes of people who did not have the legal right to see that information.
You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Congressman Tim Wahlberg of Michigan. We're talking about the latest revelation that, in fact, the server that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton had, the private server at her home, had classified top secret documents on that server, which is a violation of the law. Congressman, what is the next step, or what are the next steps that will take place from a standpoint of the congressional oversight?
Well, number one, these tapes, this server will be reviewed by an independent source coming under the confines of the law. It will be done in a credible fashion, a non-political fashion. Trey Gowdy, who is chairing the Select Committee on Benghazi, will certainly have the ability to be kept in contact and do oversight and looking into it. Ultimately, as the evidence accrues whichever way, action according to law will be carried out. And I think in this case, as we saw with General Petraeus, that at that high level, it can't be swept under the carpet. Now, I'm certain that former Secretary Clinton, because of her presidential bid, will try to push back, will try to say, well, it didn't say specifically as classified, and so I didn't know that was the case. Well, that's wrong, and I don't think that the general public will believe that, and certainly the official agents won't believe that, because she was given the training to know by reading what is classified, what isn't, relative to her responsibility as head of one of the most powerful departments in the entire nation, and that being the Secretary of State's office. So The matter, of course, will be IGs and others looking into it, coming up with all of the emails, perusing those emails very efficiently, and then when there's illegalities that show up, the secretary will be given a chance to respond to it. I believe she will have to respond, as she's indicated, coming before the select committee, and the American public, as a result of that, will hear more and make up their own minds as well.
You know, Congressman Wahlberg, I have to ask you a question that I think is on the minds of many Americans. You know, is there a double standard for certain politically connected individuals who have power? You look at last month, a sailor in the United States Navy from Vermont was indicted over taking a picture. I think it was a selfie he took on a nuclear sub. It was an area that had classified equipment. He's been indicted on that. We've seen other individuals that have been convicted and indicted, charged. I think there's some people thinking, you know, Hillary Clinton, she's going to be able to get away with this. She's the perceived front runner for the Democratic nomination for president. How aggressive do you think the Obama administration will be in pursuing this?
Well, if a good question. If the precedent that has been set already follows its course, they will drag their feet in every way, shape, or form. And that's sadly what has added to the additional mistrust of government and the sense that, as you've expressed, that there are two standards, that some can get away with it, others can't. If they have the power and authority, they can get away with it. If they don't, the full weight of the law or regulation will be carried out upon them. The president has had the ability with Benghazi, with Fast and Furious, with Lois Lerner, to say to the department heads, the secretaries of the agencies, get it done. Get the information out. Don't redact anything except what has to be redacted and blacked out. The rest of it, get it to the appropriate agencies, including the House Oversight Committee and any other committees that have jurisdiction. If they request it, let's get to the bottom of it. Let's get past this. We serve the people. That has not been what the president has done. They have drugged their feet by not mandating that their department heads do what's necessary to comply with those duly elected and responsible authorities found in Congress, made up of Republicans and Democrats, to get to conclusion. And so it'll be interesting to see if the president, for political reasons or other reasons now, pushes this forward or else continues to drag the process out some way, somehow, trying to let it go away in the hearts and minds of people. Yeah. With a presidential race on, certainly there will be efforts to say this is all political, but the more information that comes out that shows it was actually illegal, I think the American public, in the end, even after sometimes of walking away from issues, ultimately the American people do right in the end. And I think the fact that she now has 57% lack of trust rating in the United States citizenry indicates that the people are getting disgusted with this. They're taking notice, and they will ultimately take action.
I think you're right. I do. I think you're absolutely right. Congressman Tim Wahlberg, thanks so much for being with us this weekend.
Good to be with you, and keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you, Congressman. And folks, let me just say this. We're up against this break, but I just want to say this. I think in the end, all Americans are losers when justice is denied, and no one should be above the law. And dragging this out, as Congressman Wahlberg said, is the MO of this administration. But if they do this, in this case, all Americans are losers, regardless of what side of the political aisle you may be on, because it undermines our trust in our government. Justice has to be trustworthy, has to have integrity. That's been missing in our government, our federal government, for some time. All right, don't go away. When we come back, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin joins me for a discussion on the latest on Israel, Iran, and President Obama's deal with Iran. Don't go away. We're right back after this. On September 25th through the 27th, plan to be at this year's Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. to stand alongside thousands of like-minded Americans who want to see our country return to the founding principles of faith, family, and freedom. Confirmed and invited speakers include Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, the Benham Brothers, Dr. Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, Franklin Graham, Megyn Kelly, Governors Bobby Jindal, Scott Walker, Mary Fallon, Jeb Bush, and Sam Brownback. Senators Ted Cruz, Tim Scott, Marco Rubio, and Rand Paul, Representative Paul Ryan, and many more. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, life and marriage, national security, government overreach, and much more. Register before May 1st for just $99 at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. This September, stand with us to preserve this great nation. Values Voter Summit is sponsored by FRC Action, AFA Action, American Values, Liberty Institute, Ohio Christian University, and Family Research Council. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along this weekend. Let me once again encourage you to visit our website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics, the guest. Also, I want to remind you, the Values Voter Summit coming up September the 25th through the 27th, right here in Washington, D.C., and you can be a part of it. Go to tonyperkins.com and find out more information about how you can sign up and be here for the Values Voter Summit. We'll have many of the nation's top conservative leaders, Republican leaders. We'll have most of the presidential candidates. The only thing missing right now is you. So go to tonyperkins.com and sign up. All right. If you thought because Congress was in recess, the discussion over the Obama administration's nuclear agreement with Iran would go away, well, think again. Earlier this week, I mentioned that there was a new poll showing that 46% of New Yorkers oppose the deal. Now, they focused on New York because of the large Jewish population. Only 36% support the deal that the president and his team have negotiated with Iran. Now, at this point, the president is struggling to keep his own party in line, especially with the recent defection of Senator Chuck Schumer of New York. Now, this is an agreement that the president believes most of the world agrees with, showing complete disdain for our Middle East ally, Israel. In fact, that's one of the things driving the opposition, is a concern over its impact on not only our security, but Israel's as well. Joining me now to talk more about this is FRC's Executive Vice President, founding member of the Army's Delta Force, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
A lot of folks concerned about the impact that this deal would have on our ally Israel. In fact, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC, that I wouldn't say they're liberal, but they're certainly not conservative, and they oftentimes come down on issues related to foreign policy and national security that cause me to scratch my head, because they're usually, well, more times than not, they're on the other side. They have come out opposed to this deal, and I just want to quote from their statement released recently, quote, making reference to the deal, they said, quote, it would facilitate rather than prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon and would further entrench and empower the leading state sponsor of terror, end quote. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they used some pretty strong language there, Tony. I was actually quite surprised by it. Furthermore, they go on and talk about all the money that's being released to Iran being used to support Hamas and Hezbollah and other terror organizations, all of which have a stated objective of destroying Israel. So I think this is significant that AIPAC, which has generally been supportive of the president, they've welcomed him to their annual meetings. He's been welcomed with, quite a warm welcome, including standing applause. And now they've come out against him in very strong language. So I think it reflects the fact that the Jewish community in America has recognized and is now admitting the existential threat that is posed by Iran if this treaty goes through. And that existential threat, simply meaning a threat to the very existence of Israel.
Well, let me go back to something you said, and that is the money that has been, the frozen assets that are going to be released. It's said to be $150 billion, but some say it's even more.
Yeah, last week I was in a meeting with Senator Cruz and quite a number of Jewish groups, and one of the members of the Jewish groups there had talked to the head of a think tank in Egypt, who said after studying this thing very carefully, they've concluded that over a three-year period, this is actually something like $700 billion, not $150 billion. That's a lot of money into an economy the size of Iran, and that gives them the opportunity to buy new technology that, in fact, part of the deal here is that we're lifting the restrictions on technology. So not only will they have the authority to buy new technology, but they'll have the money to buy it. And much of that technology is going to be missile technology that will give them the long-range intercontinental ballistic missiles that they need for delivery, not just to Israel, but to parts of Europe and even to the United States.
When you consider the annual budget of the Iranian government and their military, and then you put on, let's just take the conservative figure of $150 billion, that is a huge infusion of cash. And the president himself, President Barack Obama, acknowledged that, oh yeah, some of this money could be used for state-sponsored terrorism.
Right, and remember that you know, our going in position when Obama started negotiating this deal was we were not going to allow Iran to go nuclear. Now it's completely changed. It's not only that we're going to allow them to do it, but we're actually going to facilitate it, albeit at potentially a slower rate than it would have gone on its own. But we're now going to facilitate them becoming a nuclear power. Who's their primary target? Their primary target is Israel. But keep in mind that this is also an American problem because they hate us as much as they do Israel. They have threatened us openly in the media, and we are also a potential target for their nuclear program. And then finally, Saudi Arabia and the other Gulf states there that they hate, that they have been adversaries with for many, many years, also are feeling the pressure from this threat that is posed by this nuclear program.
And one of the aspects of this deal that the president has negotiated, not only will this give them this big infusion of cash, $150 billion at a minimum, and their annual defense budget is about $30 billion. So you can compare that. I mean, this is a lot of money to play with for them. But part of the agreement is that the United States would be obligated to protect their nuclear program from sabotage.
Yes.
This theoretically could put us on opposite sides of Israel on the issue of Iran and the security of their program.
Yeah, Tony, I would encourage our listeners to go on YouTube and find the hearings that were conducted with John Kerry there testifying. And Marco Rubio asked Mr. Kerry a lot of really good questions regarding this issue. And he flat out asked him, does this mean that if the Israelis were to conduct a preemptive strike against the Iranian nuclear program, that we would be compelled to defend Iran? And of course, Kerry denied that, but he waffled on the answer to this thing. He said, well, no, it's more, you know, of a cyber attack kind of thing. Well, okay, so what if it is a cyber attack? Just think back to how the Stuxnet virus, which I think goes back to about 2009, the Stuxnet virus actually set the Israeli nuclear program back. Well, what was that? It was Israeli covert action. So are you saying if the Israelis come up with a new method to conduct a cyber attack against the command and control systems in Iran, that we would have to defend Iran against our allies Israel? It doesn't have to be a kinetic strike. What this provision appears to call for is for us to defend Iran regardless of who attacks them or who threatens them.
General, you have tracked Iran for a number of years. In fact, you were there in the wake of the takeover by this radical element after the revolution. In fact, in April of 1980, you were a part of the attempt to rescue the American hostages that were there. And since you have, you know, your beginnings with Delta Force and America's interest in fighting terrorism, they've been a key component of that. Has anything changed?
No, it hasn't changed. In fact, they've become even more radical. They've threatened us so openly in the world media as well as the U.S. media. I saw some good men die there on the night of the 24th of April, and there's never been any apology or reparations for the 444 days that they kept our American citizens after having violated every law of sovereignty associated with an American embassy anywhere in the world. By international law, that's sovereign territory. When you invade that embassy, you invade America. They've never apologized. They've become even more radical in their actions. Remember that they killed a lot of Americans in Iran and Afghanistan with their EFPs, explosive form penetrators. There's been no action on their part to try and make reparations or to apologize for what they've done to America. And we still have four hostages, including Pastor Abedini, that have not been negotiated for as part of this treaty, and I find that appalling.
And we still hear the same rhetoric. It's as if time has not changed, Iran. We're on the streets. You still see the effigies burned of Americans. You hear the shouts and the chants of death to America and death to Israel. So I don't see anything that has changed.
No, it hasn't. In fact, they've become even more bold. The reality is, in 2009, when there was a revolution, a revolution of the average citizens there that wanted to rise up against Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, and we sat on the sideline and did nothing, it sent a very strong signal to the Iranian leadership that they can do what they want to.
And I think this gives a green flag to bad actors everywhere.
Yeah.
That America is asleep at the wheel. General Jerry Boykin, thanks so much for being with us this weekend. All right, folks, we're out of time for this weekend, but I want to thank you for joining us. And again, let me encourage you to visit our website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more information about today's guest, our topics, information about the Values Voter Summit. Don't forget about that. And also, you can sign up for our alerts that come out from Washington, D.C., keeping you informed and equipped to make a difference right where you are. I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians chapter 6, which tells us when we've done everything we can do, when we prayed, when we prepared, and when we have taken our stand, by all means, we keep standing.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234.